1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you wouldn't mind. Today's message is nothing that you wouldn't expect. Today is what day? Resurrection day. It reminds us of what happened. We don't know exactly what day he rose from the dead to the living, but he did. Amen? He did. And you guys, because you are here, are a witness that that is true. You know that it's true because you're here. We know that it's true because the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. God has spoken to us. If any here today do not know in your heart that you know that you know that if you leave this earth that you're going to be with the Lord forever and ever, receive eternal life. I pray before we leave today, I'll leave an opportunity for you to pray a prayer that I said many, many years ago, over 40 years ago, radically changed my life and people here. How many have given their hearts to Jesus? How many have prayed a prayer of repentance? Eternal life. It's an amazing thing. It truly is. But I love what he was teaching. That's my king. All those things that we saw. I wrote them all down. I'm not going to go back through them, but they're great. They're just great. You know, he says he's the king of Israel. Think about that. The king of Israel. That's who we worship today. The king of Israel. All that we saw in the Old Testament. The king of Israel that they were pointing to. We look back to, that's who he is. That's who Jesus is. The king of Israel. Pastor Lockridge, he's a Southern Baptist, but a Baptist pastor in San Diego. He's since to be with the Lord, had gone on to be with the Lord. But it's just amazing the things that he put together in that. He said he's the king of righteousness, so our righteousness is nothing. His righteousness is everything. And then when he died for us, we're able to take on his righteousness, become right standing in the eyes of the Father. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. And then he always kept going, that's my king. I wonder if you know him. I wonder if you know him. It's an amazing thing. I did say to go 1 Corinthians 15, right? We're going to be looking at that just briefly as we dive into that. But first I have a quote from N.T. Wright, and I love this quote. It says, the resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. The resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ and that you're now invited to belong to it. Isn't that a wonderful quote? We have been invited to belong to it, to come to him. No small thing. It's a miracle. Has everybody experienced a miracle? If we've given our hearts to Jesus, we have experienced a miracle, no small thing. Because the majority of the world, unfortunately, does not know Jesus. They think he's a good man, which he was. They think he was a prophet, which he was. But he was more than that. God who came, as we know, that's who we celebrate. That's who we speak of as we go through the message today. The king is a sovereign king, Pastor said. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's who it is we serve. Paul the Apostle, beginning in verse 12 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, addresses the issue of the risen Christ, which we celebrate today, beginning in verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached, that's what we're doing this morning, that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? There was this group of people, they were called the Sadducees, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. So you understand why they were sad, you see? It's sad because they didn't believe in the resurrection. That is so old. I can get a laugh out of that still. Why is that? I'm not sure. I know, because it's so stupid. Yeah, I got it. All right. Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is, verse 13, no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If there isn't a resurrection of the dead, if he was not, as we will see here, the first to rise from the dead to the living, there is no resurrection for you and I. There is none. That's what Paul's driving that point through today. Verse 14, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. What I'm saying today is useless. There's nothing there. And your faith is already also, empty. He goes on in verse 15, he says, yes. And if we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If it's not true, if Christ didn't rise, then the dead will not rise either, is what he's saying. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep, those that have died in Christ, believing, have perished. If there's no resurrection, then they have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And if we stopped right there, how sad that would be. But look at the next verse, please. But now. Whenever you see those two words, pay attention in Scripture what follows immediately after that. I mean, it is revolutionary. But now, notice, Christ, what's the next word? Is. And the next word after that? He is risen. Do we believe that today? How many believe that today? So that's a witness. That's a witness to those that are sitting around. It's a witness to those that may not hear, know, as you know. If you die today, you'll go to be with the Lord forever and ever. It's a witness. All these people believe this. Throughout the world, millions upon millions upon millions, billions upon billions of people have believed that indeed Jesus rose from the dead to the living. How do we know? By the Spirit of God. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Pastor Lockwood says, do you know him? He's the greatest phenomena that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be all-sufficient savior. There's only one savior. What's his name? And Jesus, he is the Christ, the Messiah that everyone was looking for. The Old Testament pointed that out in the very beginning. It was spoken of in Genesis chapter 3. The way unto salvation was right there. The theme of blood would come. The battle would be declared right there, a battle that would go on forever and ever until this day. The battle goes on for souls of people. Amen? Amen. Souls of people. Souls of people. 2 years after Vi and I were saved, we met somebody that came in and we introduced ourselves and they said, what's your name again? Bill and Vi Goodrich. And they stopped us right there and we said, we want you to know. And they told us that a month before we were saved, that they've been asked to pray for us. A month before we were saved. Why would a person do that? Because they believe in something. They know deep in their heart that it's true. It's true. That's why we pray. That's why we reach out. That's why we talk to whomever we can. Because it's true. Verse 21, for which since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, in the flesh all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. All that will believe, all that will come to him. Verse 23, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits. He must come first, which he did. Afterward, those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that he will put under his feet is what he will destroy? Death. Death. The Bible promises for you and I, it's a promise that if our life should end today, to be absent from this body is what? Present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord forever and ever and ever. What a beautiful promise. Pastor Lockridge said this, he strengthens and sustains. He's God and he's died on our behalf. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. Thank you, Lord. You do that. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. That's the Lord that we serve. Anybody say praise the Lord? Anybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, anybody say praise hallelujah. Now, if you're visiting, we have coined that. We've got a patent on it. You cannot have it. That is ours right here. Yeah, that belongs to us. Is God good? He's good. It goes on. Do you guys want to just go a little further? I mean, it's just wonderful. Okay, thank you. All right, go to verse, since you said that, let's go to verse 35. Let's look even closer at this that we believe in, this resurrection. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. There's a process. It has to take place. And what you sow, you do not sow, and what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain. He's using an example. Perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. So God created the seeds and all that come from it. And then verse 39, he says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men and another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial, earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial, heavenly, is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. He's just giving them things that they understand about the about the new body, the resurrection, and all that. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Then in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. So he gave us that example. Now he comes in and says, listen close, really. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in what?
Power.
It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. That's what we live in right at this moment. And there is a spiritual body. When we leave this body, we will receive a spiritual body. We're born again inside, but something awaits us is beyond anything that we can even imagine, a resurrected body. Then verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, which is Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth. He was made of dust. That's what we're made of. The second man, capital M, is the Lord Jesus, from heaven. He came from heaven. Verse 48, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. That's you and I. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. No praise the Lord's? Look at that again, verse 48. As was the man of dust, Adam, ourselves of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, capital M, Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly. We're heavenly today. Look around. We're heavenly. I'm not sure about that, but the Bible says that, so I believe it, okay? But look at verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now, come on. That's a praise the Lord. That's the truth for you and I. If we know Jesus Christ, we will be with him forever and ever and ever. How long is forever? A A long time. Thank you. A long time. Pastor Lockridge said this, he's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway to righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. That's who we worship today. He also said his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's who we serve today. Anybody excited about that? Amen. Anybody thankful? Amen. We have everything to be thankful for. We know the truth. If we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will live forever and ever. Sinclair B. Ferguson said this about the resurrection. We are adopted into God's family through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, in which we paid all our obligations to sin, We are adopted into God's family through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, in which he paid all our obligations to sin, the law, and the devil, and whose family we once lived. Our old status lies in the tomb. A new status is ours through his resurrection. We got a new status. We're born again. All things are passed away. All things have become new. That's who you and I are today. We have every reason to be excited. Truly to be excited. He's done everything. You guys want a little bit more? A little bit more? Okay, look at verse 50 there, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, Paul says, I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. And so the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, according to Scripture, but our spirits do. Behold, I tell you, verse 51, a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die, but we shall all be changed. There is a rapture of the church. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're going to receive a changed body someday. For this, look at verse 53, corruptible must put on incorruption. This clay must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on what? Immortality. Do we believe that today? That's what we're looking for. That's what we believe today. We are a strange group of people. We believe to die will cause us to live. The only way to live is to die. And we have that hope. We have that knowledge that we have. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible puts on incorruption, and this mortal puts on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. See, as Pastor Lockridge said, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him. You can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Praise the Lord. Yeah, as he said, that's my king. That's my king. Amen. Is he your king today? Is he your king today? Yes. Amen. Because he goes on in verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kathy. It's very nice of you to do that. Your husband's not even clapping with you, but you are. That's great. Great. Isn't it wonderful? The truth that we believe. That's our King. That's our King who came for us. And I know it's the same message. Why not on Easter talk about the resurrection? because we're excited about it. But he says there again, look in verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 15, and we see the avenue. You guys know the avenue, but let's look at it again before we close the message today. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. That means the good news, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved. You can be saved by this if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I, verse 3, deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, number one, according to the Scriptures, and number two, that he was buried, and number three, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. All we have to do is believe that. Today, do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in God the Father? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
That he is not just a good man, that he was, not just a prophet, which he was, but he's the Son of God. Do you guys believe that?
Yes.
You believe that, right? You believe that, okay. So you believe in the Father, right?
Yes.
You believe in Jesus as God, and he came, he died, and they put him in a grave, and he rose from the dead to the living. You believe that?
Yes.
Now, do you not acknowledge that you have sinned against God? Do you guys know that? Pretty easy to know that, right? Yeah, you're looking at the king, a sinner right here. But we know that. We know that. But then the next step, where many go wrong, all they have to do is simply come and confess their sins and repent of their sins. There's so many religions that teach a works mentality, a works way to God. The Bible teaches it's a free gift. Anybody excited? A free gift, a free gift. Lee Strobel said this concerning the resurrection. In short, I didn't become a Christian because God promised I would have an even happier life than I had as an atheist. He never promised any such thing. Indeed, following him would inevitably bring divine demotions in the eyes of the world. Rather, I became a Christian because the evidence was so compelling that Jesus really is the one and only Son of God who proved his divinity by rising from the dead. That meant following him was the most rational and logical step I could possibly take. How wonderful. You want to see what it's going to be like, just briefly? Oh, that was weak. Yeah, you're going to see it no matter what. Go to Revelation. Revelation, come on. This is where we'll close. Look at Revelation 21. Just bear with me a little bit here. This is what we're going to. This is where we will be. This is what we will experience. Verse 1, chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I give of the fountain of the water of life. What's the next word? Freely to him who thirst. Do we thirst today? Is he your king? If he's not your king, I pray that you make him your king, because it gets better. You guys ready for one last one? It's only five verses. Come on, you ready? Chapter 22. This is where we'll end. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. I love to use these two scriptures at a funeral where a Christian has passed from this life to the next as a witness to those that are there. Again, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. We're going to see it someday. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees, or the tree, were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Look at verse 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no light night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign. How long? And how long is that? Isn't it an amazing thing that we believe? Isn't it an amazing reality that we experience today? That's why we come 365 days a year and celebrate the resurrection. We just happen to come this way and the pastors get dressed up. What do you think of my tie? You guys like this? Yeah. 365 days. The words that we spoke of today are true. It's not a fable. It's not, I wish it was true. It is reality. It's reality for you and I. We're Christians. We have the message that will change a person's eternal existence. You and I have that message. Let's not hide it under a bushel. Let's spread it as salt is spread on a meal. Let us spread it wherever we can go, because today we celebrate the resurrected life, but someday soon we will live with him forever and ever and ever. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our hearts, close our eyes. And as I said, I'm going to leave an opportunity now for anyone here. If you're not assured that if you would die this very day, that you would go to be with Jesus in heaven, and that's your desire, but you're not assured of that, but that's your desire. So if you just bear with me with a moment, and I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer. And this prayer is a prayer of faith. You won't see Jesus. You won't hear the angels, I don't think, singing, but it's by faith. And these are the words of eternal life. Just repeat them after me if you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Dear Jesus, I come to you. And I admit, Jesus, that I've sinned against you. But today I believe in you, that you are God, that you came for me, you died for me, you rose from the dead to the living for me. So, Lord, I surrender. I give it all to you. Forgive me. Cleanse me. I receive eternal life. Love you, Jesus. With every head that's bowed and every eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer, don't be embarrassed. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody pray that prayer? Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here. Thank you that they love you. Thank you that they are saying that they know you. Bless that, confirm that. Give them that assurance that they, all of us need. And Lord, let us not keep it within these walls. Let us begin to tell other people Let us invite the unsaved into our midst. Give us a burden, Lord, and we thank you. So again, Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for us. Holy Spirit, thank you for letting us know truth. Just bless us. Bless these wonderful, wonderful people, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please.